Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 13th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I've brought you Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. I love that somehow I'm always on the updates where, like, the feeds are down or nothing happened. Really, it speaks to my qualifications for updating these people.
Clearly. Yes. we were just talking about this, your qualifications for podcasting in general, because you deleted your audio.
I didn't delete it. I just forgot to press record on the last, like, 10 minutes of American Ninja Warrior.
It's no reason to have to press record in the last 10 minutes. That's all I'm saying.
I was done. I was over it.
Make sure you check out our American Ninja Warrior coverage. We are here to update you on everything that's happening on the feeds, but guess what? There's nothing happening on the feeds. The feeds are down. So we are here today to talk to you about some spoilers that came out. So if you are somebody that doesn't want spoilers, leave. Leave now.
Goodbye. We don't want you.
Come back after you watch the episode tonight. Then you can listen. You can be like, oh man, that is what they talked about. It'll be great.
I saw it with my eyes.
Yeah. If you don't want spoilers, if you want to watch the episode tonight to see who was evicted, who won HOH, check out right now. Watch the episode tonight. Make sure you stay off social media because people are talking about it all over the place. Yes, there we go.
Yeah, I would recommend on Twitter muting Paul and BB19 and Paul. And
I'd recommend not even going on Twitter. The second these spoilers released, I mean, granted, this is, you know, I am a Big Brother podcaster, but the second these were released, I had like three people be like, hey, guess what happened? People are going to be talking about it. Even like people are going to be responding to other people about it. So just avoid it entirely. We are now going to talk about it. So, the spoilers come from the Vegas for Sure user on Reddit, who has been, posting the spoilers all season long. Very reliable source. The word is that it came down to a split vote between Alex and Kevin. After all, we thought this wouldn't happen because Josh wanted it to be a split vote. He said, I'm going to make it a split vote and then I'm going to keep Alex. And I got to say, when I read, oh my God, it was a split vote, I was like, holy crap, did Alex stay in this house? No. But no, of course, as we talked about on yesterday's morning update, we were talking about, like, it seems as though Josh has turned back around on Paul, that Josh really only wants to go against Paul when he feels slighted. It's an emotional reaction. But Paul had been butty-butty with him in the last couple of days. And so he had won Josh back over, and Josh ultimately decides to keep Alex, get rid of Alex. So Josh breaks the tie and evicts Alex. Alex is gone from this house, Lita.
Yeah, and Josh is really still in Paul's pocket, just because how does this benefit Josh's game? And more specifically, isn't this exactly what he was mad about last week, the splitting vote so that Paul could save face and so that the juror wouldn't be mad at him? I just, with all this talk about potentially, like, maybe keeping Alex or Josh going rogue, like, it really is such a disappointment.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, ultimately Josh is the one that, and again, this is like Josh's plan completely backfiring, where it's like he was like, oh, I'm going to go against the plan and vote to evict Kevin over Raven. And that's like, that's me revolting against Paul. But ultimately, it just makes it look like Paul was innocent. It gives Paul an out. It makes Raven think that Paul was the vote to keep her. It makes Josh look a little foolish. And then we see this one where he's like, no. You are not putting this on me. It's got to be unanimous. You have to vote to evict Alex. And then he's like, wait a minute, maybe I want to keep Alex. Hey, Paul, you should make it a split vote. But then he doesn't keep Alex, which means it came down to a split vote anyway. And he had to be the one to evict her again. Like, it was like, you stop sabotaging yourself, Josh.
Yeah, Josh really at this point has very little interest or possibility in winning the game. Like, he ostensibly does. He tells the feeds that he does. He's the person that I think a lot of people put all their hopes on to take out Paul. But just based on his actions, it seems like he just does not care about winning this game.
Yeah, I think obviously he does, but he has a very unfortunate way of going about it.
Yeah, and it's sad because this ultimately is the right decision for him, for Alex to go home. He just did it in, like, the worst possible way for him.
Yeah, which I think tends to be a pattern here. So
the whole season.
Yeah, yeah. Moving forward, we have the HOH competition, and I mean, really, there's a huge surprise here with the winner of the HOH competition. You'll never guess.
Kevin?
No.
Oh, well, then I'm out of guesses. Who else could possibly physically dominate this game?
Paul wins the final four HOH competition. Yes. Paul, as we expected, is the winner here. And it's looking, Paul, he's in the final three. There it is.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
This was his plan. And he executed it. So, you know, kudos to him.
Yes. So I believe it was the What the Bleep competition. And so Paul is now safe. Now it's just a matter of the final four veto. And there are some interesting situations that could happen with the veto, theoretically. Obviously, if Paul wins it, he will have to be the one to essentially leave Kevin on the block and have either Christmas or Josh evict Kevin. Kevin's not going to be happy about that. Or if Kevin wins it, he could theoretically evict Josh, which would be very interesting. It would be very helpful to Paul, obviously, because Paul plans on taking Josh to the final three and then taking Josh to the final two, and Josh plans on cutting Paul at the final three. So Kevin taking him out would be very beneficial to him. But actually, honestly, if Kevin wins the power of veto, you know Paul is going to try and get his fingers in that, and he's going to say, hey, Kevin, no. You should evict Christmas instead of Josh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which yes. would just be insane.
Yeah. also worth noting that this was the same Final Four HOH that Paul won last year.
Yes.
Just want to make that clear in case people were wondering.
Yes. Paul has, he's breaking records left and right in terms of amount of days he spent in the Big Brother house. I believe he has now tied Janelle's all-time competition record and her HOH record, and not the veto one, but like he's getting up there, and this is part of it. But a lot of people are saying when you win the same competition twice, is that really fair? Is that really a count?
Yeah, and he's on track to be to what, Ty Dan Giesling for two times in the finals?
Let's not go crazy.
But that's factually correct, right?
Look, theoretically, right? Two times in the finals, yes. But the order matters, right?
Okay.
Winning first, coming in second the second time is better than coming in second and then winning the second time. Okay. I think we can all agree with that.
All right. I was just, you know, we were talking about records, and that's something to throw out there. He's on pace for that. But he also could be the Russell Hance of this and lose twice.
Yes, very possible. Dan also has the record of never having a single vote cast against him, which Paul definitely does not have.
No, Paul does not have that.
I mean, looking very good for Paul here. Again, it's really just leading down toward a Paul, Christmas, and Josh final three, where Josh has a very decent chance of being the one to cut Paul in the end. We could very well see that happen. And also, there's been some more stuff happening. Jason did an interview where he talked about Paul and his jury chances. And so, I believe this was on, I don't remember the website, but...
Is it ET Canada?
No, I think that was a different one. But yeah, it was, he did this interview, and I have no idea when this interview took place. That's the only thing. I don't know when this interview was. But in this interview, he said he thinks that the jury will not give Paul the money. He's going to do everything in his power to prevent the jury. US Weekly. Thank you, David. And Kenneth. Yes, Paul is toast. He said the jury will not award him the money. And he doesn't think that he deserves it. He's played, you know, too dirty, whatever. So that's very interesting coming from Jason. That's obviously what we thought he was going to say. Does he have any influence over the jury? Probably not a whole lot. But it's definitely, you know, somewhat indicative of Jason's mentality, the mentality that he's going to try to inflict upon the jury. But again, I don't know when this interview took place because it was released recently. However, they don't usually go, oh, lots of you do interviews on this day, and then one person does an interview days later. Because again, that ET Canada one had Jason coming to a revelation that maybe Paul wasn't a liar. So theoretically, this interview could have taken place before that one. And the actual most recent interview would be Jason thinking that maybe Paul didn't play him. So confusing stuff there. But bottom line is Jason was at the very least pretty pissed at one point. And he's not super happy about Paul. And he thinks that the jury is not going to give him the money.
We need live feeds of when they do press.
Clearly. We need live feeds of everything.
Yes. And the other thing I think is that if he does come in with that animosity towards Paul, I think that that could actually take, like, even if Jason doesn't have a ton of influence in the jury, only because I think that the people who set the tone for the jury house have a lot of influence. And it's not like the first people coming in Cody and Mark and Elena were like super pro Paul at the time. So I think if they had already had that tone set and then Jason comes in and further poisons the people who are maybe on the fence, and that's something that actually could take.
Yeah. Usually the person who goes out in this spot doesn't have a whole lot of influence, to be honest. There is something, I mean, people talk about the king and queen of Ponderosa and Survivor. The first person to the jury really does have a lot of influence because when you get to the jury house, they usually have more information than you in terms of like, did you get played or something along those lines? The person with the most amount of information tends to be the person with the most amount of influence. I mean, you see that in the game with Paul being the sole veteran. He has a lot of information about having previously played this game that gave him a lot of influence in the game. So in the jury house, if you have information, it makes you very influential. That's why I think it's a very good strategy to send jurors into the jury house with very little information, have them be confused. Did Paul play me? How did he play me? What is happening? I'm not sure. Keep them in suspense, and then you can be the one with the information. You can send in loyal allies to give them the correct information, as Nicole did with Corey last season, and as Paul is attempting to do with Alex and Raven this season. So interesting stuff happening with the jury here. It's very, very possible that we could see a embittered jury vote for anyone but Paul, which means we could see a Josh and or Christmas and or Kevin win.
Yeah, I don't hate any of those scenarios except for potentially Christmas, just because that seems, I mean, I know that it's like an anybody but Paul mentality, but really like anybody but Paul. Like it's hard to see the justification, especially with such an image conscious cast. Like, do they want to come out and have people calling them bitter and saying that they had no reason to vote the way that they did?
All right, Lita, I know you're very opinionated. Give me your power rankings for who you want to win versus who you don't want to win. Actually, yeah. Give me your power rankings of who you don't want to win first and foremost.
Who I don't want to win. I don't want Christmas, then Paul, then Josh, then Kevin. So that's right. So the opposite of that is who I do want to win for those playing along at home. But I really like Josh. I would be very satisfied with the Josh win.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I've liked Josh since the beginning. I really was never out on him. So.
Okay. All right. So yes, there's also been a clip circling around of Paul in week one talking about his strategy. This has been circulating on Reddit, people talking about this, where he basically describes his strategy. I remember we talked about this when it happened and we were like, oh, this is exciting. Like, Paul seems to be on top of things. Maybe he learned from his mistakes. So it basically in this clip, it was, if you watched these live feed updates, you could probably go back to that day and see us talking about it. I believe it was the one with Rob on a Friday. But we talked about how, or he talked about how, he had this moths to the flame concept where he's going to sit back because he's a vet. He can give people advice. He knows what it feels like to be paranoid in this house. So he knows exactly what to say to people because it's what he wished people would have said to him when he was in the house. So because of that, he is able to give them or tell them what they want to hear and give them advice. And then when he tells them this and this is going to happen, and then those things do happen, they'll be like, wow, you were right. So he's going to give them good advice at first. And then later on, he's going to give them bad advice and then watch them blow their own games up, which is, of course, exactly what he did. And is exactly what you should be doing if you are a vet. And he plays that perfectly. So a lot of people are starting to be like, wow, he really did have this, you know, plan from the start. There are some people who are coming around to the idea that like, wow, Paul really is a good player. Lita, what do you think?
I believe that he is a good player. And I do agree that it's very impressive to outline a strategy and then execute it to a T. I think that's something that's really hard to do. I think a lot of players have trouble outlining a strategy at all, let alone sticking to it. Even if they're sitting at the end, I think a lot of people can't outline what they did. However, I think that his strategy was derived entirely from the advantages that he was given as a vet. And so I think to say, yes, he's a great player, he's a great sense for the game, he executed this excellent game, I think it does need to be taken into account that all of those advantages were given because he had played before. He knew like what he wanted to hear when he was there. And, you know, all of these things that the other players just don't have, like, obviously that is taken into consideration when people consider him as a player. But I think it really, really needs to be emphasized and centered when talking about Paul's ability as a game player.
Yes. And I think that's something that, that I've been sort of trying to say along the entirety of this game, which is that, you know, a lot of people are talking about how, you know, Paul's advantages, like he had 3 weeks of immunity, he had friendship bracelets, all of these things. But if we're talking about the actual thing that we can point out, we know for a fact that without being the sole veteran, his entire strategy goes down the tubes. Like there is, his entire strategy is built around an advantage that he and only he has. And that's what we can point to in terms of like, yes, that was a very distinct advantage. And everything that he's done in this game could not have been done in the same way if he was not a veteran. And that, if you want to criticize Paul, that is your criticism. Yeah. That is a very, very apt criticism of Paul's game. And then obviously now that we're getting to the end, I think he's making a lot of sloppy mistakes. I mean, I'm already seeing like Paul just won the final four HOH and people are like, man, Paul really, he's really got this game under control. He is one of the greatest of all time. It's like, we are talking about all the mistakes he's making. Just because he wins the competitions doesn't mean he's not making a ton of mistakes along the way. We cannot forget about these and I'm sure they will be forgotten. I'm sure when it comes down to the arguments about Paul, like after the season is over, it's going to be, is Paul one of the greatest of all time? He came in second. He came in first. He dominated. He outlined a strategy. He completely manipulated the house. He like comped his way down to the end. He's amazing. And then there are going to be people who are like, Paul, he sucks. It was just like Redemption Island with Boston Rob. He was set up to win. He was given so many advantages. It was rigged. Screw Paul. He's the worst. And it's like, come on. It's somewhere in the middle, right? It's somewhere in the middle. That's where it should be. Why do people have to be so extreme?
Yeah, but I think that you can be the second thing and still, like, I am definitely camp the second thing that you said about, like, you know, it's comparable to Redemption Island. But that doesn't mean that I don't have Boston Rob really high on my winner rankings, right? Well, just because I think that it was all kind of rigged.
The Paul sucks part is the part that is extreme, right? Like, saying that like Boston Rob is a bad Survivor player or that Paul is a bad Big Brother player is kind of silly. Just because, you know, you're mad that he got some advantages. Like, yes, he had advantages, but he played them very well. And yes, he played very well, but yes, he also had advantages. And yes, he also made a lot of mistakes and played some things very poorly. We'll try and set this straight when we do another winner rankings.
Yes, but much like your draft, Paul will always have an asterisk.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, having an asterisk on my draft is better than the other one. So, because it would be either an asterisk or just nobody wins. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. So there's really not a whole lot else to talk about. If you want us to continue on, give me some questions in the chat. Otherwise, I think we're about done, unless you have anything else you want to bring up, Lita.
No, I think that's about it. Don't hate me for my winner picks preferences.
Yeah.
I was asked the question directly.
Whitney asks, did you see the comics? Yes, I saw the comics. We've been talking about how Paul really was mad at his comic. We completely discovered why. Because he was called the Potty Mouth, and he literally had a toilet as the bottom jaw of his mouth with like gross stinky stuff coming out. And it was like the motor mouth. And last season it was motor mouth. It was way, way cooler. It was the motor mouth has been like infected by toxic toilet. He's become the potty mouth. Very indicting for Paul, who knows nothing about the response outside of the house so far.
Yeah, honestly, it's still less disturbing to me than Alex's.
Yes, I saw Alex's multiple times. It's just not even close to Alex. Like,
it's something about wieners because she made the hot dogs. Yes. Yeah. So I don't know if I was to do a whole season of Big Brother, you know, come in fifth, and then I was reduced to like one costume or punishment that I had to do, I would be like, huh, I don't really have very much of a personality.
Well, you know, they're fond of doing that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes, and Cameron got the super fan. He had like fans for his hands. I thought that was cool.
I wouldn't draft Cameron on my superhero team.
Wow. Wow. So mean. Cameron, who can't even get on to Big Brother 19, can't even get on to Lita's superhero draft.
Well, that's the thing. If it's BB comics, I want someone with a little BB experience.
So rough. There's an update on the debate between Melissa and then Liana and I about Cody and whether he would be good at this game without Paul. The great Eric Stein chimed in on Twitter saying he thinks they would have you know, dominated those competitions early, flamed out in the middle, and then potential winner candidates, Cameron, an uninjured Christmas. And he even said Matt or Raven.
Why would Christmas not be injured in this scenario? Because Jason would have gone home?
Because theoretically, Christmas maybe wasn't on the block because, you know, Paul wouldn't have been there. So theoretically, maybe they wouldn't have put up Paul. Look, butterfly effect.
So she wouldn't have gotten a piggyback ride from Jason?
Yes.
Okay.
They would have been in a slightly different position.
Okay.
Paul wouldn't have kept them up late, and they would have done it a little bit later, and he would have taken a different path. This is how time travel works, Lita.
Okay. I mean, I think that Eric Stein's opinion is pretty much correct in terms of like where Cody would have finished, but I don't think that he would be a good player regardless of
yes.
whether or not Paul was there.
And I think we can all agree that Cameron definitely would have won the season because
definitely.
He was on my draft team. Let's see. Trying to scroll back up to the questions. There was one. Will Paul throw the final four veto? Should he throw the final four veto? Yeah, he probably should.
Why is that?
Because he's not going to recognize that he should, but he should because basically Christmas will take out Kevin. Josh will take out Kevin and Kevin will take out Josh. So there's like, and if Paul wins, he will just do a, like put a scenario in place that evicts Kevin. So, because Paul will make a mistake, he should throw the competition to make it more likely that something will happen that he doesn't want, that that's actually better for him.
Dang. That is omniscient.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. I don't think it really matters. too much.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Paul, of course you're like, you know, yeah, I should totally win the veto or whatever, because who cares? But there's really, I mean, he's safe. There's no reason for him to need to win the veto unless he just really wants to come after those competition stats.
I'm sure that Paul is a big statistics head.
Yeah, I don't think he has any idea how close he is to competition records.
Does this beat the one from Big Brother Canada 5 with Dimitri's and Kevin?
No, he has not beaten Dimitri's record for number of HOH wins in a single season, nor has he matched the consecutive safety record that that Kevin put up. So he will not touch those.
All right. Some things are still sacred
yes.
in this world.
Kate asks in the chat, did I mention when the Netter interview will be out? I did not, but I very much apologize. I still do not know when I will be able to get that out. Hopefully soon, but still no word. So I will keep you guys updated as the days progress. If there continue to be problems, I will try to get an alternative interview out, and hopefully we can get the Netta one out at some point in the future. I very, very much apologize, but I will do my best to get it out as soon as possible. So very, very sorry about Netta, but you know, doing what I can.
Yeah, and you have almost a complete American Ninja Warrior episode to listen to.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
You over.
This is totally equivalent things here.
Hey.
All right. So, yes, thank you everyone for joining us for our very special totally nonsense. I had no notes for this one. So, if you enjoyed it, I hope you like my improvising. So, thank you everyone for joining us. You know what? We will probably, yes, be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on the feeds. I do believe they come back tonight, but honestly, I've been busy editing. I can't pay attention to schedules.
And you can follow him on Twitter at Armstrong Taren.
Oh yeah, you can.
Me at Lita Tweeted, since he always forgets.
Look, can't always plug to, people aren't always interested in Twitter.
All right. Sorry to bore you advertising our Twitter handles.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that's happening on the feeds. If there aren't any feeds and I'm wrong about the fact that feeds come back, then I'll just, you know, have a quick little 5-minute chat with you. And then, of course, we'll be back tonight to recap the Wednesday night episode, and tomorrow night with Andy Herron to talk to you about the Thursday night episode. Lots of fun stuff coming your way. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.